At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
You wait and wait, but that pimple won't go away fast enough. You need maximum strength Clearasil. Strong because it's got benzoyl peroxide. Fast because it's micronized. To go deep to clear your skin fast.
Hi, look who's here.
There she is. Go get her, Romeo.
Get maximum strength Clearasil and help minimize the wait.
January 1989. Happy New Year! Bernie Getz starts his prison sentence, but you're not from New York, so you only know that name because of Paul's Boutique. George H.W. Bush is inaugurated as the 41st President of the United States. Yawn, I'm sure that's nothing that'll affect the rest of your life. The first case of AIDS being transmitted by heterosexual oral sex is reported, so get ready for some creative changes to your sex education class taught by someone who goes by the name Coach. But you don't care much about all that right now, because it's January 89 and you are a brand new human, going back to school like you built this city on rock and roll. You got a New Year's resolution and you're not afraid to use it. You're solo, single, and ready to mingle with some strangers who might become lifelong friends if you do all the things they want and ask of you, because that's how you think friendship works and nobody tells you differently for 30 something years when you start a podcast and feel very, very something. Anyway, Jan 89, you just started hanging exactly six lockers down from the new waivers, who seem the most approachable out of all the Four Corners cliques, and nobody said you couldn't stand there, but will they still remember that now that it's next semester, i.e. a new year, the last year of the 80s, the most important decade that's ever happened to humans? You move one locker space closer and stand there until the very last second before you have to go, so that you're not late to class by first bell. But these guys, they're not even moving. The new waivers are just staying there like first bell doesn't matter, because it's a warning bell and they don't give out late slips until third bell. Oh, what if they're right? What if the first bell doesn't matter? That means a progress report doesn't matter. That would mean first semester grades don't even really matter either, because it's about how you do for the year. Or wait, no, this is not the time to epiphany. It is too early in your high school career. Just take a deep breath, be a good student, get to first period. Oh no, it's American history. Who's that new president again? Stop everything! You just remembered the gift you left yourself in your Trapper Keeper. You're going to get through this boring class with no regrets, because nothing in the past ever matters, and the only thing that matters is the magazine of your future. Yes, it's time to...
Listen to Sassy!
Our first feature, another just a fun time from Catherine. My girlfriend got pregnant, and so she found three guys to tell the whole range of things that can happen if your girlfriend gets pregnant. Delwyn kept the baby.
Midge.
Midge's girlfriend had an abortion.
Isn't Midge the Palmolive lady?
Madge.
That's Madge.
Oh, okay.
Midge is Moose's girlfriend in Archie Comics.
Stay out of Riverdale.
That's right. Yeah. That's his girlfriend. And then finally, Ken... put the baby up for adoption is how they put it. That's not what we say anymore. Now you say you placed the baby. It's fine to do a story like this where you're talking to and getting the, you know, the guy's perspective on this experience. But I mean, it's not. Don't talk to men. I feel like what's missing from this story is the girlfriends. Like, they, all we get is the testimony of these guys, some of whom are not even with them anymore. It bothered me that that was the voice that was missing from this extremely personal experience that they probably went through and maybe didn't necessarily feel like it was the guy's story to tell as much as theirs. What did you guys think?
In Catherine's defense, that is how she started, with that point of view of saying, right, like, who the fuck cares what these guys fucking think, but I guess I'll find three people. She does not keep her judgment out of the story in any way.
No.
She's just like, this guy's life is ruined. Like,
the one who kept the baby, like, it does kind of seem that way. I mean, sorry, dude, but you're not going to be a marine biologist with your three children and you're 20 years old. Like, sorry. But in addition to that, the way she characterizes it is what he says, which is the pressures of fatherhood caused him to hit his wife. And it's like, no, no.
Yeah, that was something that needed some follow-up that they did not provide. It seemed very matter-of-factly presented.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I get what they were trying to do with it. I don't think it was successful.
They didn't have to interview them as a unit.
Yeah.
But they could have went to the mothers afterwards. This is the story as told to me.
Yeah.
What is the spin that they're putting on it that would further inform the story, but they didn't.
I liked this article. And I guess because I feel like we're always talking about what the girl, it's always fear-based, girls are pregnant. Obviously now she's going to lose her scholarship and no one will ever marry her. And like, it's all like her worth is all wrapped up and ruined. Mm-hmm. And in this case, it was judging whether or not they gave a shit. And it was interesting how they had all of them kind of thinking about either their girlfriend or the children, like, became this focus of these young men's lives. And that to me was unexpected. I didn't mind not having the other side because I felt like that's what she was secretly getting this scoop for us, mm-hmm. as opposed to a well-rounded he said, she said about the abortion.
Right.
Or the pregnancy or the adoption.
Yeah.
They're all just like, you could just play brick and listen to this.
Yeah.
It's the perfect sound for like these sad boys with the sad, like one of them's just Good Will Hunting, but Ben Affleck.
Right.
It was his movie.
I mean, we criticized the It Happened to Me story that was like, I got an abortion and it was the worst day of my life, which like, it probably was. I'm not saying it's a fun time, but like, this is even worse in terms of like, oh, I better never get pregnant. Like,
yeah,
all of these outcomes seem bad.
I like that it was like that, that it wasn't it's trying to scare you. It was just like, there's nothing romantic about this situation. And if you just think, as these guys did, like, well, birth control doesn't really work for her. Well, I'm not really sure how it happened. I don't know how it happened. Like, mm-hmm. some of them were like, still, who even knows how anybody gets pregnant?
Right.
So I think it's that feeling of like, do you think he's going to be there for you on the other side of this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, his mom had to give him $750, that it was too late to do anything, you know, on the adoption one, because by the time she told anyone, she was 3 months pregnant going on four. And it's just like, oh man, there's all kinds of little things in here. I feel like they're talking to girls about without you having to hear it from a girl to identify.
I think she was 6 months pregnant.
She was by the time they had the money.
Yes.
She told it. Then he the old school Kickstarter, which who knows how he did that, just walking around asking for some money. But yes, so she was almost 4 months pregnant when she told him.
Right.
And then 6 months by the time they had enough money. And then it was too late.
Yeah. So real fun way to kick off our discussion here. Kids, don't get pregnant.
I appreciate that every first feature is like, we're going to be real here. But it is difficult for the chill, joyous vibe we try to reach here.
It is. So why don't we close our discussion there and move on to something more fun?
All right. But I appreciate it. All I'm saying is thanks, Catherine.
Guys, our second feature, who's the sassiest one of all? Having it all.
Nobody here's having an abortion.
Here's five virgins. Virgins with their futures.
It's six, actually, unless one of them has done something you don't know. Woo. Which one of them is not? Anyway, this is where they're going to crown the very first sassiest girl in America. We all remember when they had the contest application because we filled it out. And now they have brought all of the finalists to New York to introduce themselves and get their money from Noxzema. So we get a day-by-day breakdown of what they did in town and then a little mini profile of each of the finalists. So I loved that they went to Steel Magnolias. This was before it was a movie, and I looked up who was in the cast at this time. Margot Martindale was the original Truvy, the Dolly Parton character from the movie. Amazing. Wonderful. They had already, whoever won, didn't matter. They all won, in my opinion.
This thing is so jealous making. Mm-hmm. Even still, I'm just like, oh my gosh, this was great. This is so fun. They all just hung out and ate food and saw things and went shopping and had a photo shoot. And mm-hmm. it's great. They had a chauffeur, you guys.
Yes. They had a party bus. They mm-hmm. got to pick the music.
They had fried plantains and trendy wrapped fish.
Yes. And then they had Cajun food. Yeah, they had a great time. Dino was their photographer. Dino from the Jason Bateman story returns to be cool and impress all of the finalists. It is kind of rude in this write-up to say which of the runners-up had to leave the room and cry, it is implied, when they didn't win. Karen. I'm just saying, you didn't have to include that detail. It's mean.
Well, I thought it was sweet. Like, you know, some people got real upset. You know, I imagine this whole half, like, story of those two becoming, like, best friend, bathroom, crying girlfriends, and that they're still friends.
Or it's like the Olympics when somebody's really into it and they place fourth and they really thought and they just, like, it just pours out of them in the instant. It's just, like, this genuine agony of defeat moment.
Right. I mean, this is the Olympics of being a teen girl.
That's
for
what
sure.
I figured.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Cute boy alert. I'm at dinomuller.org, and it turns out this photographer is handsome and still taking pictures and has a very cute Joey LeBlanc on his main page. So he knows where his bread got buttered.
Joey LeBlanc?
Did I say Joey LeBlanc?
Yes.
I think it's from when he was on TV 101. Does anyone else? Anyone else? Bueller?
No, that TV just came up in our discussion of the 1988 Circus of the Stars because there was a promo in it. So, yes.
You're talking about Martin Mull's TV 101?
Fucking love that show so much. It was like, it was my head of the class of like, yes, I want to be in TV 101. That's me.
All right. So let's go through all of the ladies. And I will note there is a better mix of diversity than we usually see in the models in the magazine, by the way. So this seems like it was something they were aware of, but maybe not able to work on as much as they may have liked. Who's to say? Our first one is Anissa Morrison. She wants to be a model. She's here in her cutoffs with her hair piled up on her head, looking cute. Mm-hmm. She does not win.
No. Oh. And here's the thing. When I was reading this, this is a very, like, Phoebe moment, but I just was like, oh, I hope that, I wonder if Anissa's gonna win. And then got to the last one, and I was like, wait, that's her on the cover? Like, because I didn't look at the cover, because it just, we only look at the spine. And so I was like, fuck the cover, I don't need it yet. So mm-hmm. it's a real surprise reveal to me.
Yeah, it's not her, sadly.
It's not her, but she's very cute. She's from Birmingham.
Mm-hmm. Next, artistically inclined Gina Chang. She was very passionate about her favorite piece of furniture, which was for her a French sketchbox easel. And we find out when we look her up, she did go to Princeton for architecture, and she works in finance now. Very cute and like bloomers over cutoffs. Another look. They tried it. It didn't really work out. And with her socks on and then like a wrap sweater, she has kind of a ballerina look, but that doesn't seem like it's one of her hobbies from what we see.
No, everybody's got too many clothes on in this. It's either too much jewelry, too many socks, a hat. It's just too much on everything.
Next, true executive Margot Merriweather. At 15, she is their youngest finalist. Again, poor girl styled in this denim blossom hat and then like crochet stockings because that's one of their what next things for this month. One of the ones who had to go and cry, I'm sorry to tell you. I wouldn't know that if not for Karen's rude write-up. But yeah, she's a brainiac and she looks like an overachiever in this picture for sure.
Margot Mayweather sounds like a Disney for kids, like spy sort of show. She's got that kind of name. Margot Barweather, you know, solving the case, so kind of like a Harriet the Spy kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's get Margot Mayweather on it. Margot's mom, because of Google, her mom passed away about a little less than a year ago, and her obituary is amazing. Her mom, I don't just put it in there. I was like, no wonder Margot, such an amazing person. Her mom sounds like she was incredible. Reverend Dr. Myrtle Lillian Capehart was early in the civil rights movement, And one of the first black girls to go to her, to integrate her 2000 student all white high school in Raleigh.
Wow.
And so it's just, and it just keeps going. Like her whole story is all the way to where she had God's calling and just became a reverend later in life. And yeah. And so anyway, I love finding out like where all these girls grew up to become, but I also love finding out who made these particularly mm-hmm. sassy girls that we wanted to be, because they obviously came from really sassy women.
Myrtle Capehart. That's also a Disney name.
Yeah.
She seems like she's in the Mysterious Benedict Society.
Yes.
Sandra Oda is next. She is out of the ordinary. She's the one from Hawaii. She is, at the time that they interview her, a senior at Kalani High School in Honolulu. She has been class president since sophomore year. So this is the level of achiever that they're finding for this. But yeah, these boots, it's hard to tell if they're her choice. Pam, you already mentioned them.
Yeah. They're the lace-up suede appropriation boots. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else to call them.
Yeah, they're knee-high moccasin situation.
Yeah, and then she's also got this pearl brooch. Her denim sleeves are rolled up so high that that's not something one can maintain all day. And then her shirt's also like pooshed all the way up too. So this is, she can't put her arms down in a very Christmas Story sort of way.
Yeah. But she became a teacher. We found her her profile on OutSchool. She has an Instagram, but it's private. So we'll see if she accepts us. We'll find out. Next is Josie. She's clearly the tallest. She's the only one who's like photographed standing up. So they want you to see every inch of this this beautiful blonde girl.
But they cut off her head and her feet. I'm just saying that if the whole point is to show every inch of her, they cut about 4 inches off of her.
She's too tall to fit, Pam. That's how tall she is.
They've got her in this once in a lifetime jacket, same as it ever was.
Like it's so big. With a bunch of feathers stuffed in the pocket for no reason.
Yeah, that's, I didn't see that. She's, ma'am, you can't bring that peacock into this restaurant.
Is that the one that looks like she's wearing a sandwich board underneath? Is that the one?
Yes, it's so square.
Yes.
She is. She's three Josies and a peacock in a jacket trying to become the sassiest girl in America.
Josie Adultman.
Yes.
Yeah. If I found her, and I think I did, because she still smiles the same smile. Josie's in Australia now, and she's a senior property manager, and recently won an award.
And then finally, we arrive at the victorious Rinnan Henderson, so named because her mother, on the way to the hospital to give birth to her, saw an antique store with that name, and that's stuck. And she sure looks like the sassiest girl in America in this picture. I remember this photo so well with her hair all blowing one way, adorable Liberty print floral blouse, very cool leather jacket, which she immediately was what she bought with her money, we find out. And then she went back to her town in Montana that was so small, they don't get television. So the fact that she even survived to enter this contest is a tribute to her bravery, her courage, her character, because I would be dead.
Her write-up is like when you read bad screenplays describing Manic Pixie Dream Girls. Now,
yes,
though.
It is.
Listen to this. You guys, listen to this. This copy. You won't believe this, but the sassiest girl in America comes from Lola, Montana, a town so small doesn't even get television. No joke. She's also raised pigs in a 4-H club and has to feed her family's chickens, calves, and horse twice a day. But don't get the wrong impression. 15-year-old, it's Rinnan? Rinnan?
Rinnan,
I think. Is that what you said? Is no hick chick. This is a girl who's into Madonna, leather jackets, The Cure, INXS, her boyfriend Ryan, red lipstick, thrift store shopping, and cat eye style glasses. But that's not why she won.
Yeah, all of that in a montage of set to Friday, yes! I'm in Love. All the yes! feeding the animals, not watching TV, wearing a leather jacket. Yes. Absolutely.
When the letter informing her that she'd made it to the finals got to Lolo, she was on her way back from Fiji, where she'd spent the summer helping to rebuild a church destroyed by a hurricane. But first, she went door to door to collect the $2,000 in airfare.
That's why she won.
Yeah, definitely. She said, my mom paged me in the San Francisco airport. I picked up the white courtesy phone and just screamed. Everybody was looking at me and I was going, I'm in the finals. Like, the, then her charity, she's going to split it five ways. Of course she is. And it's just like, even when they threw in at the end, like, also domestic violence, like, happens to her family too. Like, every single part of it is how you, manic pixie dream girl, the girl in the bad movie, to explain why she's going to be the one who Leah Thompson's over Mary Stuart Masterson.
But she's real, and she's now an actress and a producer. We have her IMDb. We followed her on Instagram, and she followed us back. So we hope that she's listening to the podcast and enjoying it. Hey.
Hi. You know what? And then, because of Google, I found out that she, just after this, became a roommate to one of the staffers. Like, Colt, like, was like, oh, now I'll go, like, do sassy. And then that's what she did. That's mm-hmm. a sassy lady.
Yeah.
It doesn't get any sassier than living with the sassy people after you've become the sassiest girl in America.
Agreed.
Feature number three, why your body's going wacko. I feel like we've already covered every single one of these things, but they rounded them all up in a little thing to say once again.
Your body is terrible, terrible, terrible. Of course, the letters in wacko are all askew. Mm-hmm. Wow! Ah, it's like your boobs.
My boobs are weird.
Milky white discharge stuff. Do you want me to read each one of these like I'm Don Pardo from Saturday Night Live?
Yes, please.
Sure.
Milky white discharge stuff.
The only note I took on this article is I think about the joke from the opening of Obvious Child all the time. And that's in this montage of Jenny Slate, her character doing stand-up, says her underwear sometimes looks like it has crawled out of a tub of cream cheese. It's just very evocative, and that's all I'll say.
Dave, I would like you to Don Pardo all of these, like, it's who's on Saturday Night Live tonight.
Okay. Featured player, horrible breasts. Am I just going to read them all, and then we're going to talk about it?
Yes, please.
Oh, okay. Milky white discharge stuff. Horrible breasts. Featured player, mutant nipples. Period paranoia. Featuring music by the Big B.O.
Now here's your hosts.
Oh, wait. Okay, here was one more. I missed it. And now here are your hosts, good old pimples and blackheads.
Yay! Oh, it's great to be back. We're six-time hosts. Well, I am. Pimples is blackheads. He's an eight-time host. At one point here, it says, if you want to know what your boobs are going to look like and whose boobs you got, go check out your mom's boobs because those are going to be your boobs. And all I could think of was people who were like, how am I going to do this? All right. She's asleep. When she's in the shower, I don't know, she'll probably notice that one. How am I going to find out what my mom's tits look like?
Because I have another solution for you.
Oh, no.
I'm just saying, logically, your grandma also has those boobs. So maybe your grandma's just a sounder sleeper.
This is true. This is true. But do you want to do that to yourself when you're trying to figure out what your young buds look? Young buds, get out of my mind.
No!
You're much too young, buds. The song is already gross. I can't make it worse.
I think some sort of sneak attack situation is called for. You just go, you have a Polaroid. You just like, hi-ya!
A Polaroid?
Yeah. Well, so you can study it later.
Dave, she's going to know if you're like, and then you're like,
I see. You want her not to know.
It. I mean, what am I supposed to, Mom, can I look at your boobs?
I just figured you wanted a really good view so you can really know what your boobies are going to be like.
My theory is if you've never seen your mother's breasts before, it's for a reason that she's doing. 720 Sassy Go, please tell us how you got to see your mom's tits. This is where we're at. I'm so sorry. I'll see myself out. Feature number four is my nightmare. There's no MTV in the wilderness.
Pass.
Oh, my God. So what's awful? Christina Kelly does a Outward Bound, and she's like, oh, I can't bring any of my makeup or my beauty products, and there's no music, and I can't bring my MTV, and what am I going to do, and how is this going to happen? And then she ends up having just a fine time, sort of. mostly. She has a fine time. Do you remember when you guys were doing those cleanses? And then you guys were like, it feels so good when you're done doing the cayenne pepper. And I said, is it because you've stopped shitting?
Yeah.
And you feel good when you stop shitting. And you guys were like, perhaps.
Yeah.
That's what I think Outward
Bound
is.
That was a wild time.
Yeah.
That liver cleanse we did. Three people in a house with one bathroom. It was the two of us and my sister until she bailed at like at dinner time on the first day and was like, that's enough. And she was probably right.
It's the only time in my life I pooped jewel tone blue things. I just still don't know what they were.
What were they?
They're liver stones, they say. I mean.
No!
I choose to believe I had some sort of like secret temple inside of my intestines. And this was like treasure hunters had expelled them. And that's what it was. It was
a marble you ate as a toddler that finally made its way out.
I don't know what it was. I'm not going to get into it, but I'm just saying.
It was
a pleasant surprise.
It was a piece of glass that has been churning in your stomach acid until it became a piece of jewelry that you shit out.
The crazy thing was, it was the heart of the ocean from Titanic. I thought she dropped it, but I guess I swallowed it at some point.
I thought that old lady threw it into the sea.
All right, back to the article.
Do you think Kate Winslet looked at that old lady's tits and were like, oh boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was real fast. Do you mind before we wrap?
Yeah.
This is my actual nightmare, being stuck in the wilderness, doing wildernessy, strenuous, intentionally strenuous things without enough training, with people who aren't equipped to be telling me what's what, and it's hot, and I'm holding all my shit, and someone else is going to be responsible for my death, because I'm taking it seriously, and other people are getting high, and then saying, I'll row your boat. Nope.
Why in your scenarios is everybody else high?
Oh, because you know they are.
I mean, just to be clear, that is not the case in this story.
Not
explicitly stated, and I don't think anybody was hinting at it either.
No. Dude, one of the guy's names is Jer. Just J-E-R. He's so high, he didn't say Jeremy.
It's Jer, I think, not Jer.
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 He's not the rural juror.
I'm sorry, I can read. It says Jer. It does not say Jer. That's J-E-R-E.
Well, Jer is not Jer. Short. There's no name that starts with Jer. It's
Jeremy.
Not like he's been a Jer.
That'd be Jeremy.
I knew a Jeremy.
No, you didn't.
Oh, God. I did. I don't want to go into it.
He was Jeremy, and he was trying to be interested.
That's absolutely true.
If anything, that's short for Germany. One time I dated the whole nation of Germany. You know, Jer.
Anyway, this is it. They're boating. They're Ziggy Marley. This is, what do you mean? Why would they be talking about getting high?
There isn't Ziggy Marley. These are the things she couldn't bring. Why, you're creating a whole new narrative for this.
I think Pam's
point is
the kind of people who would be Outward Bound guides probably get high. And I believe that.
I thought Outward Bound was like Scared Straight. And so I was confused. I thought it was. I was like, they don't do that anymore because it's a terrible thing to do.
Don't menstruate. You'll be eaten by a bear.
There's an ad for Outward Bound on page 83. So I think I have an idea of how this story came together. All I'm going to say about this is she gets motion sick the first day and then she keeps running to the outhouse to throw up. Don't throw up in the outhouse. It's going to make you throw up more. You're sticking your head down the poop hole.
Worst decision of her life, frankly. I don't know too much about this woman, but worst decision of her life.
Find a bush. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, we're not Outward Bound people. We're inward. We're inward stuck.
One note on this story is that it takes place in Vernal, Utah, is where they either camp or whether that was their like a gathering point before they drove into the wilderness. And that was, I believe, the Christmas fiction
yes!
it was mentioned in yeah. offhandedly. And I guess now we know why.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. I need a spot. Vernal, Utah.
It was the dinosaur diner in Vernal.
A fiction story is called Joe's Dead. It's by Henry H. Roth.
Can I tell you when I checked out? third paragraph in. I was like, oh, God, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I read everything else I needed to read. The fiction story is the one thing where I give myself permission to check out if I'm super annoyed by it. And as soon as I realized, you know, where they were going with this story, which is like patient-doctor conversation going on and somebody has died and it turns out it's just this kid's imaginary friend, I'm like, nope, out. You know, this person, I got to write a story nobody's ever written before. Check this out. There's this kid and he's talking to, it's like, I'm going to do Sixth Sense before Sixth Sense. And this is what this is going to be. I'm great. My name is Henry Roth.
Yeah, Dave basically summed it up. This is the story of a girl who has two imaginary friends. She is in therapy for this, and then we find out her dad also died, so maybe this is her way of processing her grief and blah, blah, blah. By the end, the other imaginary friend has also just gone away. And the way she kills Joe is choking on a pumpernickel sandwich, which is like, that's not a... It's you say what the thing in the bread is. You don't...
Okay. So I know this character is going to die by choking on something, but it's really got to be something memorable. Like, I'm just not going to go with, you know...
A turkey sandwich.
Exactly. Right. It's got to be... What's a good, not often used thing that people have heard about is pumpernickel. Like, it is so... It's like when you hear about, like... You imagine writer's rooms where they're trying to think of the most comedic number to use as a punchline to the joke.
Pam's nodding sagely because she's been in those rooms.
And they're like, well, it can't be 10, 20, 30, or 40. And it can't be a 5 thing because that's like too coiny. And it probably should be an odd number because odd numbers are just inherently a little funnier because they're odd.
23 is the highest number.
It's going to be something that ends in a 7. Mm-hmm. And... probably like 37 because you like that, or like, you know, you got to have some comedy K's in there maybe. Like, this is the conversation this guy was having himself to arrive at pumpernickel. I am not a crackpot.
They don't ever say that she has imaginary friends, and that's the most annoying thing about the story.
You're right.
So it's just her being like, it's
no one
sad.
Else
like
sees they, them. Right. I made up both of them.
Oh, and it's just told in this way, like, and it happened to me where it's like my friend died and we all had to like deal with the death. And then like my doctor said that that's okay, that I'm getting better. And every sentence makes less sense until you're like, God, they're fucking not real people. And then the way that they let you know, in case you haven't picked up on it from her therapist freaking out about like how it doesn't really like that. Well, that nobody's freaking out that people have died is her mom shows her Harvey and like right. watches her watch Harvey. And then, but the girl's really smart, and so, and then, and also, yes, her dad died, but like, and at the end, she doesn't need her other imaginary friend anymore, so he leaves to pioneer for gold, and she says that's the most romantic thing she'd ever heard of, and she was proud to have known him. And it's just like, again, I really dislike when people are trying to say what they think smart teenage girls are like. And if Henry H. Roth isn't a pseudonym of a 12-year-old who was really good at writing, then I'm upset. I'm upset.
My only other note is someone on staff has a blind spot for spelling the word accidentally N-T-L-Y instead of N-T-A-L-L-Y. Has come up more than once. Body talk. The first item is about...
Tara.
Oh, Dave's body don't feel so good to do.
Oh. Oh, I see.
I ate so much I had to throw up in the outhouse.
The war against pimples. This is telling us about the wonderful breakthrough that is benzoyl peroxide, which was certainly an ingredient in a lot of... gel-based cleansers and the such. And they also mention that you can get a lower dose of the prescription drug Retin-A. And I just wanted to mention, I was once prescribed Retin-A in my 30s because I was still having zits that bad. Oh, God, it really burned my skin so much. Like they say, with, you know, less burning, itching, flaking. Like, oh, yes, I remember all of those symptoms. Yikes. But anyway, a coworker recommended Proactiv. I never look back. This is not an ad, although we would accept an ad from them. It's just the truth.
What I want to know is the accompanying photo she's looking at the goo on her finger, which I assume is that stuff we're talking about.
Yeah.
But there's like something black in
it? I think it's the reflection of like her eye or her hair or something. Because benzoyl peroxide is just clear.
Wow. Mm. That is super reflective. I don't know if I buy that explanation.
No, I thought it was lube for the later mentioned condom for women. Doesn't it look like she's getting ready to
stick it in her nose?
Something.
Yes. What? Oh, baby, put it in my nostril.
Mm. Well, that's not. Is that what zit cream looks like? It's not, right?
Yeah, no, it can be clear like that. Like if Clearasil face wash at that time was like clear. Yeah, it was clear gel.
I'm just saying, it looks like it's the start of like the Venom scene, you know, where symbiote is hiding in your Clearasil. It is troubling. More troubling is Pam's interpretation of the photo.
I never had to look at it until you were like, what is this? And then I was like, oh, I wouldn't have thought this was a pimple picture.
The average American eats more than 11 pounds of chocolate a year! Exclamation point.
Challenge accepted.
That's about 107 regular sized Hershey bars without nuts. Now, the one thing I always keep in mind whenever there's something that is average is that there could be one person at the top that eats 2 million pounds of chocolate a year, and I want to meet that person. I don't know. That seems like a lot. 107 chocolate bars a year? Do you think you hit 107 chocolate bars a year?
No.
Like, I think we're all below that average, right?
Probably.
Like, even if you take into account all the shit you eat around Halloween, where it's like, well,
yeah,
I better take a couple out of the bowl.
That's just a chocolate bar, like, every 3 days, which that would be a lot.
I believe that kids might eat 11 pounds of chocolate a year. Frankly, I think at Easter alone, you could probably down
for sure
about 4 pounds
of chocolate
as a kid, especially in the days before fucking bullshit hollow chocolate bunnies. Back in
bullshit.
Okay, I got another John Cole, my dad story for you. My dad loved a bargain, and he loved being able to save money. So one day, he went over the river, which is Niagara, Ontario talk for going over the Niagara River into the state of New York, usually Niagara Falls, New York, sometimes Buffalo, New York. And on one of his trips to the closeout store, and this is back when closeout stores like weren't really a thing. They just like you happened upon them and you're, what the fuck is this? It's just dead stock. They had, from whatever it was in the 80s, the bicentennial or the whatever for the Statue of Liberty thing, maybe. I think when they were doing the repairs to it or whatever they were doing, Nestle had a special edition Statue of Liberty chocolate thing that apparently didn't sell too well because there was a shitload of stock at this closeout store. And John Cole bought the whole inventory out, brought it back to our house, and put this whole gift from heaven into our deep freezer. And I found those Statue of Liberty solid chocolate Easter-y items for at least 7 years from that point. There must have been 50 of them that he got. There were probably like a quarter each or something by that point. And by the time you got like 6 months from the bringing them into the home event of the year, they all became very white on the outside, disgusting. They look all diseased, but I ate them all. I'm just saying, during that time, I probably could have downed easily 11 pounds of chocolate a year. Now, not even close.
Now, your sister still lives in this house.
Yeah.
Do you think there is still food in that freezer from when your parents were alive?
Absolutely.
I do too.
Because the hoarder gene skipped me.
Yep.
Right? So my mother is kind of a hoarder. My dad wasn't, but my mother was, and my sister definitely is.
Yep.
So whatever was at the bottom of there, might use that one day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this jar of brown jellied something without a label. We'll figure it out one day when we maybe have lamb. Let's see what that is.
Well, I looked it up, and just to see for inflation, you should know that Americans currently eat an average of 22 pounds
double
of candy each year. That's candy. Mm-hmm. So split almost equally between chocolate and candy. So they're still doing around 11 pounds a year, and then an additional 11 pounds of candy on top of that.
Do they consider my gummy vitamins and supplements to be candy? Because I do.
That's the loophole. They do not. You can eat as many of those as you want, and you do not contribute to the average intake.
Fantastic. I'll be right back.
Every second, Americans collectively eat 100 pounds
spiders.
Of chocolate. Oh. Dinner!
Did I keep that clip? Yes, I did.
Dinner.
Next item. Condom for women. It's called WPC 333 at the moment.
Sexy.
This is the quote. It consists of a bag with a small ring at the closed end that you push against the cervix and a larger ring at the open end that is placed just outside the vagina. Sounds bizarre, but actually it couldn't be simpler. Yes, it could. A regular condom. This is way too complicated, A. And B, a bag? It consists of a bag? Fuck you.
But at this time, so I looked it up by this code name, and it kind of tried to get to market. They were hopeful, but there was this, at the time, sort of up-and-coming competitor, rush to market competitor. It was called The Barrier. The Barrier is a latex shield-like device which fits over the outer vagina, held in place with thick elastic straps that encircle the woman's upper legs. That sounds like a time. Wonder why that one, we don't hear about The Barrier today.
You know, they always called them female condoms. Do you know that now they call them internal condoms? Uh-huh. Because you guys knew this? I didn't know this.
No, but it makes sense that that would be more inclusive language. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because you can use it from, but they, yes.
We still call them baggies.
Who's we? Don't include me in this dinner.
The last bit of this is about insulin injections. And I just want to say, like, I have nothing but admiration for people that have to do this every day or whoever happened to have to do it. Because I remember when I was a kid, I don't know why I did. I don't know what was wrong with me. I probably should have asked before my parents left this world. But for the longest time, every week I had to go to the doctor and they have this like little tiny razor blade-y kind of thing they would prick my finger with. And I was like 4 or 5. I was really young. And it was the most traumatic thing I can remember from two things from my childhood that I still remember as being traumatic. One, that getting pricked in the finger every week or so or how often it was. Two, going to the barber terrified me. And just that prick just to get a drop of blood so they could do whatever to do with it. I hated it so much. And just the thought of having to do that on the reg has just scared me away from any lifestyles that would get me anywhere near getting diabetes. So I just want to say thank you, mom, dad, that doctor, for scarring me for life when I was very young. And now I'm fit as a fucking fiddle.
I was expecting if you're a diabetic, you suck, like you, as you said about Arizona. And
you're diabetic. New Jersey. Let's be honest, you're a garbage person. Is that what you wanted to hear?
Oh my God.
No!
I see how it's a slippery slope to becoming Joe Rogan once you get a microphone and a platform.
I think they're heroes.
Yeah, it seems bad. I have one prescription for migraines that I take once a month, and it's in a pen like this, and it's unpleasant.
They're like EpiPens, right?
Yeah.
Same kind of idea?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where do you put it?
You can put it in your arm or your thigh.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to, like, poop right into your head. No. Right into the nerve.
It's not Total Recall. Start like that.
It's a real shame. I just read that some people use Botox for the kind of migraines that you get.
I've heard that, too. It? Yeah, no, I haven't tried it.
Pam has.
I did it just for you. I haven't had a headache.
Time to talk about another garbage place in another garbage state is it's Wabash?
I think it's probably Wabash, yes.
Wabash, Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Wabash. They call it Wabash. 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 Yeah. You get your washing done at Wabash.
I've only been through Indiana once. It was as boring as people said. I do remember, I believe, I bought one of my favorite hats before I had to stop wearing it because it's a red hat with white lettering on it.
Yeah.
From the Hen House, I believe, a local sort of dinery family restaurant. Fried chicken operation out there.
Yeah.
And that's all the experience I have. I don't know actually anything about it. But from now on, any place we talk about, I'm going to bag on just because it makes you angry. Guess you to call.
Yeah. When we did our big, I think we've talked about it before, that we did a road trip in the year 2008. We drove all around the country, and Indiana was one of the states that we drove through it and did not stop even to pee. And that's impressive because Dave needs to pee about once every 60 to 85 minutes. So the fact that we were able to cross the entire state without stopping even to pee really tells you something about Indiana. Do better.
Well, we must have stopped at one place because I bought that hen house hat.
No, but I don't think it wasn't. Now that you said that, I don't think it was in Indiana unless you did it on.
Oh, was it in the other one?
On another trip. It could have been Illinois. Anyway.
The other one.
You know what I meant. But you know what I meant when I said the other one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. See? Shorthand. Work smarter, not harder.
The reason they're in Wabash, and I only know this from reading How Sassy Changed My Life, is that one of the main organizers of the boycott against the magazine, whose name was Jan Dawes, that's where she lived. So this was either maybe an ultimately unsuccessful attempt to kiss up to her or a cheeky way to needle her, because in the intro, they say they picked it because they wanted to do a place in Indiana. And the biggest pile of letters in the mailroom was from a cool town called Wabash, because it was this psycho and all the other psychos that she enlisted to write angry letters to the magazine.
Cute.
The strain of finding anything to say about this apparently very boring town really shows in this write-up. It's like, and there are, I don't know, they watch TV, I guess, whatever. Like, it's very half-assed.
And they spell foosball F-U-S ball. Come on, guys.
Yeah, they do.
Two O's in foosball. You know it, I know it.
Mm-hmm.
This town is so boring, apparently, that one of the photos they have is just a bunch of kids in front of the McDonald's.
Yeah. What they listen to... Top 40 is one of the options where it's just like, they say some other bands, but like the fact that Top 40 even makes it in there is just like, we don't care.
No, they're what they say is sweet and I'm so sure. Yeah. Like they're like, oh, wow, we should write that down. Yeah. That's a totally Groovox thing to say.
When you're a Y-bot, you can often hear the definite article V, which is... One note that I genuinely enjoyed because I was like, what the fuck? Crystal Gayle, bracket, the Morticia Adams of country western singing, grew up here. Uh-huh. What?
She has really long black hair.
But why?
That's it. Not,
I believe she's actually brown hair, isn't it?
Yeah, she has brown
hair. It's not even black. She doesn't even look like Morticia Adams. Is she crazy and kooky? Like, what is the, what actually ties her to the character of Morticia Adams?
No, I think they just needed to emo punk kid up, bringing up a country western fact.
Right.
So they were like, I don't know, Morticia. like everybody that was watching the Adams family, like, cool, cool, cool.
So that's Wabash. Sounds like don't go there.
Real Wabust.
Yeah. Next month, they travel to the... dumpster fire known as Chicago, Illinois.
No, Chicago's good.
I've never been. Let's start calling in, telling Dave why you hate him this week when he complains about your hot dogs and bears.
They put celery in hot dogs.
He will complain about the hot dogs. That is true.
I think. Wait, celery salt? What? Yes, it doesn't matter. We'll talk about it next month. This town.
Oh, gosh. Help!
Oh, I'm first. Help! Me, go first. Nerdy friends. Nerdy friends! My two friends are considered nerds because they are interested in more than clothes, labels, and boys, and I agree with them. I'm afraid to tell my popular friends about my feelings. I'll be a nerd. I mean... just be who you are. Be true to yourself. But more importantly, yes, they will. If you want to keep your popular friends as friends, keep this nerd thing a secret.
Yep.
I mean, Sassy's giving you the ABC after school special answer, which is, are they really your friends?
Yeah.
If you want them to remain your friends, keep your nerdy habits a secret. Don't tell them that your favorite character from Lord of the Rings is Tom Bombadil. Keep it to yourself.
Yep.
Keep your friend.
Is he dating Zendaya?
I don't know what that means. I won't respond.
I don't know what Tom Bombadil means.
Tom Holland is romantically linked to Zendaya, who is the new Spider-Man, Dave.
I don't understand the reference, and I will not respond to it. Sore breasts. My breasts
sore
are
sore breasts.
My breasts are sore when I lie in my stomach. I am not very developed since I'm only 13, but why do they hurt? Apparently, the answer is hormones, and I've forgotten why I put this in the document.
Great.
Sometimes my boobs hurt.
Sometimes everybody hurts boob-wise. That's a song by R.E.M. Vaginal blisters. I have these blisters on my vagina.
She's not reading it.
Hang on.
Tara hasn't started reading. She's just confessing. She's trying to pull up. You guys, it's just you and me. They can't hear us. We're in the friend's kitchen. There's no mention of vaginal blisters. We're all just going to pretend.
If you're going to do that, I think Michael McDonald should be your guy. That you're gonna...
Vaginal blisters.
There you go. Could this be her face?
I have these blisters on my vagina. I've had them for about 2 years, and I don't feel any pain, but one will bust every 2 or 3 months. I'm a virgin, so it can't be herpes. Do I have a serious problem? One of the theories is... you could be getting the blisters from, washing your underwear with a strong detergent that irritates your skin, or wearing jeans that are too tight and rub your skin like when you get a blister on your foot from new shoes. How tight are your jeans and what are you doing in them? That is the most horrifying thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, I recently learned that there are different kinds of labia. And and perhaps this jeans sitch can happen. If you're wearing, like, you know.
And by different type of labia.
I don't want to talk about this anymore. I withdraw.
You got your typical English labia, your Jer labia.
Jer labia. Oh, man. We have been recording for over 2 hours, and it shows.
Fucking sense anymore.
I'm just gonna send you the picture. And I think if you click this link that I learned last summer, because we all had a pandemic.
What am I clicking on?
You're not going to believe it until you see it. But there's a couple of these where you're like, oh, yeah, that person is getting some problems with jeans.
Right.
And should wear underwear.
Aw, the fifth one's kind of cute. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's going.
It is. It's like Murray doing a blep. Cut all this. Cut all this.
A vaginal blep.
Cut it. Cut it. This cannot air. I'm not joking. cannot air.
Dad's Affair.
Musical guest. Dad's Affair.
Born out of the ashes of Arcade Fire.
For sure. It's Gwen Stefani and 38 Harajuku girls. I'm 13 years old, and I just found out my father was having an affair. My mom still tells me that I should respect my father, but how can I when I know that he did this to me and my family? Should I forgive him or just forget about him? Their answer was so kind. Like, the whole thing is like, it's not about your father. You're probably in a lot of pain. This is really going to fuck you up. Like, deal with you and how you feel and what you need to do. Like, he did his thing. Now you figure out if he can't talk to you about it, then, like, you find someone and you don't stop until someone will talk to you about it, because you can't just, like, shove this into your stomach and respect your father. It will really fuck you up if you do. Well, I think that's great.
Yep, agree. Very good answer. It happened to me. We can be brief because this story is fake. Lori, 16, knew that her best friend was being raped by her uncle, but she had promised not to tell. I'm not sitting here saying that people aren't raped by their uncles. It happens tragically. But this story is, it's like every bad thing that could happen does. He's just come out of prison. He mm-hmm. said if she told anyone that he would kill her whole family. The friend is mm-hmm. like, she told me not to tell, so I didn't tell. And then the friend who's getting abused by her uncle mysteriously dies. And the uncle shows up to the funeral in a white suit with some broad and a red dress. Like, this is so... Could not be more fake. Could not be more fake.
Could not be more fake. And it's also frustrating so soon after in the help section, one of the first ones is like, hey, I think I might have been abused as a kid. I'm not really sure what to do because I have these dreams and stuff's coming up. And they were like, well, you should talk to people, a teacher or friend. And I was like, why wouldn't you tell a friend? And now I see why, because they're uh-huh. printing. And the, like two later, like your friend will just wait until you're dead and then make $300 from Sassy being like, I didn't tell anyone. Even mm-hmm. if that was awkward. It was awkward at the funeral that I went to. Like, what? No.
Yeah.
And it begins so penthouse for him. I really don't know how to begin what I'm about to say, but please take me seriously. I've never told anyone this out of fear of what people would think of me.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like, and then it's just more lies.
And there it was on the table sitting there mocking me, a slice of pumpernickel.
All right, we can stop there, I think. What he said... About tattoos. The question this month, what do you think of girls with tattoos? And the fact that this is even a conversation dates this issue so much. And it reminded me, there's an episode of 90210 in season one, which aired like 2 years after this, where Steve meets a cute girl with a tattoo and we're supposed to think it makes her terrifying. Like, everyone has a tattoo now, except me and Dave. And like every other person on earth has a tattoo.
You got tattoos, Pam? You got a full sleeve going on there?
I got nothing. I have no stars on thars.
Oh, my God. We're the last three people on Earth who don't have tattoos.
And I made it through. We all made it through roller derby without tattoos. Do you know how hard that is? Like, when you get hit to the rail, like, a tattoo appears in the bruise. You just rub it, and you're like, oh, shit. Now I have, like, a cherry blossom that goes all the way around my shoulder too.
Choose something you like that you really, really, really like and can live with forever. And then we're going to send you to a guy you don't know. And he's going to jab you with needles for about 2 hours. What do you think? Into it? No, thank you. Keep in mind, this is like 2 years before Lollapalooza. And I figure by like mm-hmm. Lollapalooza time that was sort of like, I don't want to say normalized, but like it wasn't this like cultural shock thing like it's portrayed here.
Yes.
Like 2 years, like Lollapalooza is 92, 91. Something mm-hmm. like that. It dates it, but it's so on the cusp of being totally irrelevant.
Absolutely.
Except for this guy from Anthrax who was like, in the photo, tattoos! What? Kind of looks like Weird Al.
Yeah, if Weird Al was trying to be Animal.
Mm-hmm.
Sean, 18, says, I think a girl with a tattoo is someone who's really... influenced by other people, says Sean from Port Chester, New York, and likes to go to movies and read fantasy books like The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. Sean, do not worry about people not wanting to go out with you or vice versa. I don't think it's in the cards. My favorite character is Tom Bombadil. Will you go out with me?
Look, someone might want to go out with him, but not someone with a tattoo. That is for certain.
Well, not then. Perhaps now they have a whole elvish ring over there.
True.
Over their, the barrier area.
They have carpe diem in elvish somewhere on their body, for sure.
The barrier area. That's what we're going to call it from now on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun fact, David 18 in this, what he said, is the only male to enter the Sassiest Girl in America contest.
Mm-hmm.
And so they interviewed him for this. I think that's great. They're like, all right, here's what you get. You get to be in what he said, because we are very clear.
Yeah.
This is your section. Unless, do you have a girlfriend who used to have a baby or is going to have a baby? No? Okay. All right. Just checking. Yeah.
And he's also pro tattoos. It's like, I think a girl with a tattoo doesn't let anyone take advantage of her. Sean.
Then he says, and if she really puts her mind to something, she'll definitely do it.
Yeah.
I think we're done with that phrase though, right? Where it's like, come on. Ladies, if you put your mind to it, you can do something.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. I hope that's in the trash.
I just want to finally say Raymond 20, which, like, it's a very young-looking 20, lists some of the things that he thinks are acceptable tattoos for girls, and those include Snoopy, Garfield, or Alf.
Mm, super cute. And what he considers vulgar is an anchor or anything like that. That kind of girl would probably lift weights and have a mohawk.
The vulgarity of an anchor.
Good money to see an Elf tramp stamp, though, right?
Actually, yes.
Yeah. Right. Well, at roller derby, you can see this. You can see an Elf tattoo with a girl who lifts weights and has a mohawk and an anchor tattoo. It's actually Elf is lifting weights.
And it says on the side of it, because it's Elf, pussy lover. Mm-hmm.
That's right. And he's got the mohawk. It's all in one tattoo that's on her butt cheek. And you stare at it for long practices.
Oh, my.
Stuff you wrote. Starting us off in the top left corner from Star. Hails from New York, New York. Shakespeare plus Dr. Seuss equals Green Eggs and Hamlet.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba.
I just figured it had been done before. So I just typed in Green Eggs and Hamlet on the internet. It is both a book and a movie, apparently. At some point, they made Green Eggs and Hamlet the movie.
Mm-hmm. What year? What year?
I don't know. But it's just one of those projects that started with a title, and then they decided to do it against probably all good judgment. Mm-hmm. But also, I believe probably the book was in that weird 3-year period where everybody thought that was cool, where they were, like, bardifying, like, everything. It's Star Wars, but it's written by William, like... Boy, so many of those books are at the Goodwill across the nation right now. Like, what the fuck was I thinking? It's right there next to the Seinfeld biography. You're like, oh, God.
I regret to tell you my mother had a book about that was like Jean-Luc Picard's Lessons for Management. Because of course she did.
Never admit there are four lights. Lesson number one.
Taylor Cole is calling the sassy hotline right now going, Green Eggs and Hamlet was 1995.
Hey, Taylor. Changes. I tried to climb the stairs, but I couldn't. Something was holding me down, and I'd lost the battle. They say the grass is always greener on the other side, but grass is grass and green is green, and I like the color that I live with. So I tried to walk down the stairs, but that was even harder, because I know I'll never see this grass again in this particular shade of green, and I like the color the way it is. So I cried as I climbed the stairs. And I cried as I walked down the stairs, and I cried when the grass changed colors. Laura Treadway.
Damn the electric fence. Damn the electric fence.
Laura Treadway of Normal, Illinois. That is a gorgeous teen poem. Thank you, Laura, for sharing it. But also, how many people who grew up or even have ever seen the sign of Normal, Illinois then thought, that is the perfect title for my sensitive indie movie?
Yep.
Normal, Illinois.
Starring Zach Braff.
Zach Braff?
Yeah.
100%.
Amy Gilpatrick from South Carolina writes, if a person wanted to ship styrofoam, what would he pack it in? You clawed a box. Fucking idiot.
Dell from Corsicana, Texas writes, if a cat always lands on his feet and buttered bread always lands butter side down, what would happen if you tied your bread butter side up on your cat's back? And I just wrote, Dale, get your money, girl, because what? The butter cat paradox is a thing, and some dude, like, made money off of it and entered the exact question in a 1993 Omni competition. And now there's a Wikipedia page about it, and it's, like, a whole thing. And I just want to say that dude stole it from Dale, of course, Corsicana, Texas, and I'm pretty sure that is what she tells everyone she meets every day right before she says, and you have a good day.
However... it's easy to prove that none of those things are true. Therefore, the exercise is moot. So fuck that, Omni. Piece of
wow, I can't believe Starlog Jam's coming for Omni. It's so wrong.
It's on the rag this week for sure, Starlog Jam. So Veronica Chambers wrote, from Brooklyn, New York, writes about the We Generation. And it's really more of like a speech and some suggestions. Like, this is a generation where now we can become the We Generation. And here's some things you can do. You can collect money and you can sponsor a child. You can find out if your school's wheelchair accessible and then like take a petition, make a petition and fix it. Put a box up in front of the cafeteria to get canned food. Take them to shelters or a synagogue. She says, use your imagination. There's certainly enough problems to tackle. And once you've done something, give yourself a pat on the back and throw a huge party. And you guys, Veronica Chambers has a Wikipedia page because she walked the walk. This lady works at the New York Times. She she's a James Beard winner. She's a best-selling author. And she interned at Sassy from a cold call, just called up and was like, can I work here? And they were like, yes. So she might have been an intern when this stuff you wrote got in here. Mm. But the point is, you can follow her on Insta now. She seems awesome. And again, this is me being impressed that sassy people continue to be sassy adults. It's very cool.
Mary Compton from Birmingham, Michigan, is the reason why this page exists with The Lonely Place. The slow moving swing back and forth, a lonely doll left by her mother, a patch of love over her left eye, the merry-go-round moving around without the company of a child's laughter, the dried out mud pies in the sand with the tiny engraved fingerprints imprinted on it, the cold stones lying still, the faintly painted hopscotch numbers, the basketball hoop. Torn with all its use, is empty as the strings hang alone. A lonely place.
See, Dave, you tried to smock it at the top.
This is the ultimate barn door creaking poem so far.
I'm just saying, you tried to mock it, but by the end, you were swept up in the story because you reminded me at the beginning of boys who steal your notebooks and read your shit out loud and mock it at the lunch table. But then you kind of got into it with the basketball hoop.
No, the reason why I did that and the boys did that is their throat started to hurt and they couldn't carry it on for another 20 seconds.
Next time, we'll be talking about the pop culture topics of the January 1989 issue. Los Lobos and the Accused, reviewed! Mary Stuart Masterson and Crowded House, profiled! We get to see the results of the entertainment poll and more. And if you notice that I didn't mention one to watch, there's a reason. For my plug this week, if you like to hear me talk about stuff here, you can also hear me talk about Succession on HBO over at my other podcast, The Sweet Smell of Succession, which I do with Dave Chen, and we will link that in the show notes.
Here's a sentence you will never see again in the English language. Los Lobos and the Accused reviewed! Exclamation point.
Hooray. Well, look.
Hey, we all love pinball, right? You can follow me on Instagram at David T. Cole. You can follow Tara on Twitter or Instagram at Tara Ariano. You can follow Pam on Twitter or Instagram at Pamela Ribbon. And of course, this podcast right here is at Listen to Sassy. And to remind you, our holiday Listen to Sassy Club Drive is still in effect. If by the end of November we can reach our goal, you will get not only a watch-along during the dead holiday days between Christmas and New Year's, where you're just staring at the clock, watching rain fall down your window, sad, sad, sad. Well, why not join us and your fellow listeners to watch some sort of sassy era movie and then talk about it and have a good time? Why not indeed? That plus, if we reach our goal, a bonus for you, a drunk episode of Listen to Sassy that will drop near New Year's as well. So get your ass to listentosassy.com/club for all the details and to sign up there.
I just thought maybe it was a nice backyard with some space. That's all. So you can find more information about the podcast, visual aids for all our episodes and contact info for us at listentosassy.com. You can go take the quiz. It's a cool place to be. It's also where you can sign up for whatever you need. It's just go. And speaking of it, that is where you, oh. Damn it. I hate when I make sound bites for Dave. We're going to be taking that January 89 quiz in a couple of weeks, but you can take it now at listentosassy.com. Find out, what's your sports IQ? And then, no, I'm not going to do it. And then, anyway, call us, leave us a voice. Oh, fuck it. Fuck it. We'll see you next time. 720 Sassy, go. God damn it. It's been too long. I'm out.
Virginal blisters.
There you go.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.